Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. We now join the live service.
Our Old Testament reading for today is taken from the first book of Kings in the 17th chapter. Then the word of the Lord came to him, to Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth." So she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God. We continue with our hymn number 977, found on the half sheet that was handed out. Peace to you in Christ Jesus. Greetings from Peace Lutheran Church here in South County. We have this word of God in 1 Kings about Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. And there are many things in it we could talk about. We could talk about the idea just from the beginning that Elijah has prayed and a drought has come. A drought that not only affects King Ahab and the kingdom of Israel for their idolatry, but also affects the surrounding region, all the way up to Tyre and Sidon in the north. How God sends Elijah out of Israel to care for him, which is also him speaking in judgment against Israel, that his prophet must leave in order to be cared for. Or even that he sends the prophet to the same country that Jezebel's from in order to be cared for by God. But in all of it, what I really want us to ponder today is the connection that God has created between Elijah and the widow and how God uses it. Some interesting little details in the text. The conversation begins when Elijah comes to the gates and asks the widow to fetch water for him from the well. Now, it might be just a connection of hospitality for strangers in that part of the world, but we also know that God has said that he commanded a widow in this foreign place to take care of his prophet, and that he would go to the city and go to the gate and just happened to run into her. It's kind of coincidental in our minds if it's not for God's action there in order to bring them together. That by some way God has shown to Elijah that this is indeed the woman who is the widow that he needs to speak to. And that she, in him calling to her, knows somehow that this is the prophet, that this God of Israel, which isn't necessarily her God at all, has suddenly spoken to her and mandated that she go and assist him. So he asks for water. She says she will go get it. And then as she starts, he adds another request and asks her to bring him some food. After all, that is why God says he is sending Elijah to her, that she can feed him and care for him during the drought. And her response is one that shows that while she has heard God's word, she does not understand it. She says that she's gathering sticks in order to go home and bake some food, but it's just for her and her son. because that's all they have left. And when that's gone, they will starve and they will die. She has a bleak look, even in the midst of her attempt to obey this voice of this God of Israel that's come to her. And it's only in Elijah's word that her perspective begins to change, where he says, no, go make me a little food and then make yourselves food, because God will take care of it. God has promised to take care of it, that your oil will not run out, your flour will not be empty, but God will continue to provide. Though this woman is a pagan from Sidon, God sustains her in order to sustain his prophets. God doesn't give them a four-course meal three times a day. They don't have an endless supply of beef and chicken. They have bread. They have what is needed. The widow obviously does not think much of her situation or herself. She's a small part in the larger picture. She expects that she and her son will die because they are not significant in the world and the drought will overtake them. But God is showing something else. So we can see in here a couple of things. One, that God promises provision and then carries it out. And we observe how we receive from God in a similar way now, that God supplies us as his children through the world. As Luther notes, God can work through the unbelieving baker to provide bread for his people. And we see the flour and the oil also as symbolic of how God's love and forgiveness for us never fade. His provision for us never empties out. His love always fills his people to the point of overflowing out of us in order to show his love then to the world around us. He always has more forgiveness for us than we have sins to commit. That is Jesus' way. But as we go on, there's another feature of this event that I want to highlight from the rest of the narrative as it goes. When Elijah's been living there for some small amount of time, the son of the widow becomes ill. And his breathing becomes labored. And then he stops breathing altogether. The widow blames it a little bit on Elijah and on Elijah's God. But hear also how she says it. She says, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." From this, we hear her perspective on Elijah and Elijah's God. The arrival of the prophet at her home and his stay there has brought the focus of Israel's God onto her house. And now Elijah's God is punishing her for her sins, now that he is noticing them, because of Elijah being in her proximity. And the way he's punishing her is by killing her son. She blames God, she blames Elijah, but at the root of it, we hear her words as she blames herself. The woman feels the weight of her sins, especially with the contrast of the prophet living among her. But with the death of her son, and as a widow, the death of her future care from him, she only feels guilt and shame, despair. For this moment, there seems hope not to starve, but instead this new form of punishment has been inflicted. Isaiah doesn't offer her pithy words of comfort here. Instead, he takes the son to his room. He prays to God in a way where he expresses that he doesn't exactly understand what God is doing in this situation, but honors the faith that God has given him and prays for the child. And that God hears his prayer, we are told the boy is resurrected by God. He's brought back to his mother. And here is the mom's response. "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." So it's in this moment, despite the word of God coming to her earlier, despite the evidence of the prophet, even despite the miracle of the oil and the flour, it's in this moment that she finally understands the nature of Israel's God. It's in this moment, this person from the same people as Jezebel is from, that she comes to faith in God. She comes to understand his love for her. She had obeyed God out of some sense of obligation. She had been angered. She had despaired at his punishment. But in light of God's providence, she has rejoiced in his love. She thinks her and her life and family are a small thing to God. But now she knows that she is seen by him and seen with an eye that loves her and loves her son. One of the things that you and I can come out of this event with is that God is always working behind the scenes, always working to bring people to himself. Often we look at the world in terms of what we are getting from it, that we are the star of our own narrative of our lives, and the other people around us are there in relation to how we do things and what we are about. But none of them are small. None of them are insignificant to God. God puts Elijah there in part to take care of the prophet, but he also puts the prophet there to take care of the widow, to take care of her son, to take care of them not just in terms of food, but in terms of faith. In our selfishness, it's easy to only look at what we can get out of relationships around us, to see what we can do to convince others to do things for us, to give to us. It's easy for us, especially in our culture today, to think of others as other than us, as insignificant, or as enemies, or divided. And our sinful natures are there coming out in that. We learn from this that no one is small to God. Every person is significant to him. And he calls on us to broaden our perspective on them, even as he has shown you and I that we are significant through what Christ has done for us on the cross, through what he has done in coming out of the tomb at Easter, as he has lavished his love on you and continues to do so, as he forgives all your sins and has forgiveness for all the sins you will ever commit. So he has done these things for the other people around you in your life. May God broaden our perspectives on those around us, that we might be his instruments by which others would know their significance to the one who gave all things, that they might know their significance to him. In Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.